Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
I'm joined in studio by Richie Sadler. He's a psychotherapist. He's a former footballer, ambassador for Movember as well. A man of many hats, Richie. And I'm looking at you here and you've got a bit of a beard on, but no sign of a mustache. So what are you doing this year for Movember?
What I'm doing this year to do my bit to raise awareness and some funds, I'm doing a daily ice bath in Helios saunas down in Dundrum. So I have to jump into an ice bath, which is obviously freezing. I did a three minute every day last year, upping it to 4 minutes every day this year. Because you kind of have to feel like you're...
Yeah, you have to do bigger and better.
Bigger and better, or making it a bit more difficult. So that's the task this month. So I have to try and carve out an opening for myself to get in there. So the moustache was a bit trickier to grow this year because... I feel like an awful, whatever, saying this, but I have this filming thing to do in the third weekend in November and another one in December, and there needs to be, I'm told, continuity of stubble length. So having a moustache for 1 month only is just not going to cut it.
No, film star problems. Yeah, that's what you got.
It's not quite that, but it's, yeah, that's the reason I'm keeping away from the moustache thing this year. But what I think Movember does well, and what I like about the whole thing is, like, you can get very serious when you start talking about men's health and men's mental health, and it can be very heavy and a bit off-putting and intimidating and lots of things that would just exclude people from getting involved. And I think what Movember have done over the years, they've just managed to come up with a way, relatively light-hearted and breezy way of getting the topic on the table. And they're doing it so long now at this point that when you see a fellow wearing a moustache, actually when I see a fellow wearing a moustache at any point of the year, I think of Movember, yeah. But particularly this time of year, and it just... It's kind of a soft way of getting potentially heavy topics on the table.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I was thinking about this on the way in, like if you said to someone, can I have a chat?
Yeah.
Like there's a bit of anxiety straight away there. What's wrong?
Your shoulders go up. Yeah. Something happens.
Yeah. You kind of clench almost.
Yeah.
But like it's about trying to have those conversations. I think you've said before, come for a walk with the dog or stuff like that. Finding ways in to someone without getting their back up, I think is the hard bit.
I think that's, like, it's probably the question I'm asked most often whenever I in a mental health setting or I do a talk or whatever. One of the first questions is, how do you get someone to talk when you think there's something going on with them, but you don't think they want to talk? Like, what's the ideal approach? And I think the question comes from a place as if there is such a thing as an ideal approach, that there's one phrase or one approach or one location or something that will work for everyone. And that's not the case. We're all different. We're all of a different personality. We all have different influences in this area. And when you're thinking about men, lots of us have different ideas in our head about what being a man entails and the parameters and what's acceptable and what's expected and what's maybe frowned upon or what's forbidden. And sometimes I think when it comes to talking about symptoms you might have in your body or worries you might have in your head, or an ongoing behavioural problem or something that just doesn't feel right. Some of us, and I was certainly in this category for years, I think we are of the view that the first approach, the plan A, is to stay quiet. That you just don't talk. And then for lots of reasons, you might talk yourself out of talking by telling yourself no one wants to listen, or who would you tell anyway, or nothing's going to change if I say this out loud, and who would I trust, or therapy's not for me, or geez, I don't want to go back to the doctor, I don't want to waste any time. Or the classic thing that loads of men do is go, so there's loads of people out there that have way worse problems than me, and lots of us do it. Like, I picked up loads of those ideas as a young footballer in the 90s at Millwall, and then when I worked as a therapist I encountered loads of young men who picked up all of those ideas too, and none of them had set foot in Millwall. None of them had been footballers. Loads of us, and you've probably your own examples, we kind of take on board this idea that it's better to stay quiet about certain things.
And where do you think that comes from? that it affects so many, like, is it just a generational thing that if you look back to even two generations ago of Irishmen in particular, you just, the stone, the quiet, silent type, strong, silent type, and maybe we all picked that up by osmosis?
I think that's the case. And I remember going back to my young adulthood days, you know, the spell of your life where you're really looking around for influence and how you're now going to behave. You can't behave as a teenager forever. You have to kind of wise up. And a lot of the stories I would hear in England back in my football days about the men that were to be respected and revered, they were often stories about men who had incredible pain thresholds or who played on with an injury or who, no matter how difficult things got, they were dependable and reliable, and they were always fully resourced to deal with whatever adversity. So those are the kind of messages. Lots of, I'm not saying those men shouldn't be applauded and celebrated and we should share their stories, but sometimes when they're the only stories you hear as a young man about the behaviour of men that should be respected, I think sometimes you can tell yourself, well, any other type of behaviour isn't really an option.
Mm.
So that feeds then into that whole area of thinking, well, to be a man is to be what?
Mm.
Is it just to be available to give others a dig out? To be all those old terms we associate with previous eras, like the provider, the supporter, the protector. And if there are times when there is something going on, a psychological or physical symptom, what are our options? And that's, I think, the question lots of us have been grappling with for years, but I think it's changing in loads of ways. Like the idea that I'm on here on a radio talking about men's health and men's mental health, that's just so common.
Mm.
The idea that you would hear from a man talk openly or in a vulnerable way about something they've been through or they're going through or that they fear is coming up, that's not remarkable anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not. And you can go into any industry, like the macho professional sports stuff, the corporate stuff, the world of politics, and there are men in every space now that have talked openly about challenges they faced. And they've talked openly about help-seeking options that they had or they took or they wished they took. So it's changing.
Yeah. It's interesting, when I was reading about one of your first times experiencing this was when a teammate of yours had testicular cancer.
Yeah.
Very young. I've had testicular cancer.
Okay.
And it's funny, when you were talking about it there, I was thinking the worst bit for me, and I remember the day that I got the diagnosis, I went to the appointment on my own because I thought nothing was wrong. And I thought, like all you said, I'm bigging this up in my head. And then they said, no, actually, there's something very, very serious. And worse than hearing that was the phone call afterwards to my now wife to say, something's really wrong here, you know?
And that was the worst bit.
That was the worst bit. And the two phone calls, I remember them distinctly, on the way home to call my wife and on the later that evening to call my mother and tell her.
Two women in your life.
Two women in my life. And then, like, that's the interesting barrier that you were just talking about, of not being a burden on somebody else.
Yeah.
And I was thinking more about, oh, how does this affect their life and my life? But I was interested, from your point of view, particularly at a young age, you guys didn't really know how to engage with that. And I could see that among my own male friends. They had no idea how to talk about it when it was in our group. And I think that sticks with the men through life.
So I've had a couple of close friends have testicular cancer diagnoses over the years. The first one was when I was 21 or 22 and he was a year older than me, and we were teammates at Millwall, and he was a very prominent member of the team. Many years later, he went on to manage the club, but fit as a fiddle, top scorer in the league, multi-million pound like transfer offer had just come in for him. And a week later, the manager rings us saying the story's going to break tomorrow in the paper that he's got cancer. And I remember at the time having absolutely no idea how we were meant to react. Do I ring him? Do I not? Do I avoid talking about it? Do I ask him a load of questions? Should I be worried he'll survive? Should I expect him never to play football? I had all these questions, and I remember at the time thinking, looking around going, like, we're all floundering here.
Yeah.
And we did that blokey thing of just using humour as a way of dealing with it. One memory, he was known as Golden Balls in the club because he was so talented and so he was just a brilliant footballer, and then his nickname became Golden Ball.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then we thought, isn't that hilarious? That's our way of acknowledging this issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with lots of male friend groups, that when a serious life issue like that comes in, a health issue, sometimes you're not really sure. are you meant to ask questions? Are we allowed to tell anyone else?
I still remember, and I'm not even sure if, I won't name the person, but someone, a man who was close to me, of an older age, vintage. And the first time I saw him after getting testicular cancer, he said, well, sure, Hitler had one ball and he turned out all right.
Right, okay.
You know, and so like that, it's this uncomfortable humour. And I didn't know how to, I was thinking, Jesus Christ, what do we do here? And you're almost trying to put them at ease while they're dealing with your bad news.
So to give him the benefit, that was his best approach at trying to be reassuring or supportive or positive.
Exactly. But just didn't know how to go about it.
But it was like, let's get in and out of this conversation quick.
100%.
A snappy little line, have a laugh and on we go.
Yeah. Do you think that this whole idea, like, we were talking about how much talking about men's health has come on, and that's undoubtedly true. But we also now have sort of this rise of toxic masculinity online. You're seeing the era of the strongman politician back again. Is that sending things in the other direction, do you think, about how men should think about themselves?
I think it's given us all an opportunity to really get involved in that conversation. I remember, do you remember the Netflix program earlier in the year, Adolescence, that came out? What I loved about that is it got lots of people energised around the conversation about what more could we do to support young lads? If they're vulnerable, in what way? If there's intervention or more required from us, what does that look like? And I love when the conversation goes in that direction. There are lots of things you could point to online, lots of men in the world that you could point to as worrying examples of behaviour that you wouldn't want your son to follow. And then there are loads of other ways that we can get really engaged with young lads, whether it's in school or sports clubs or wherever, and really open up the conversation. Like, I used to do it loads in school. They don't do it as much anymore. I have way less free time than I used to have because I'm a dad now. So I just, everything's a bit more, time is way more precious. And I used to be in a room where some of them would mention something in passing about it being different for girls, and it didn't really matter what it was. And it's really, what's different for girls? And that would open up the conversation among a load of young lads about what it is to be a boy. And they were at the stage of life where they're 15 or 16 or 17 or 18, in looking ahead at young adulthood and all the confusion and excitement and overwhelming stuff that can be going on in your head at that age. I think the more we do of that, the more we can become a bit more involved in influencing young lads, rather than, I think a lot of people are adopting the kind of posture of helplessness and concern, which is understandable in lots of examples, but just this idea that, you know, it's all gone to hell now because they're all on the internet and there are voices on the internet that can impact them in ways that we can't. I just don't agree with that. If we step into the room and really get involved in, whether it's Movember campaigns or classroom discussions or whatever it is, young lads will do much better in life the more support they get from older lads and the adults in their lives. So that's the bit we can get involved in.
Has your view of, I don't want to say how to be a man, but of how you were perceived and how you perceive masculinity changed since you had a kid?
No. It hasn't. And I actually wondered that coming up to it, because I used to hear loads of women, but also men, say, now that I'm a parent, and they would say something different, or particularly men would say, now that I'm a parent of a girl, something would change. And so before we had our first lad, I remember thinking, I wonder what will change, because apparently everything changes. My view of how I should carry myself or what I should do or not do, that hasn't changed. But I think I want to be as available and as approachable and as a present as I can be for my children. And I think that's the bit that has been the biggest change.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I have less time to do a lot of the work that I used to do and that I love doing, because I have different priorities now.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting how this generation of dads have changed. And I'd be really interested to see if the narrative we're talking about, if we're having this discussion again in 20 years' time, please God, I'd say that would have changed very significantly. For people who want to enjoy you screaming in an ice bath,
yeah,
where can they watch it and how can they donate to
Movember? If you want to donate and get behind the campaign, you can go on my Instagram page. The link is there, and any donation, big or small, would be great. If you want to get a bit more involved yourself, go on movember.com/register. And there are loads of different ways. You don't have to stick to growing a mow or doing anything in particular, be as creative as you can. You'll get loads of support from the Movember team about how to set up a sponsorship page, how to rally a load of people in your team and get people behind you. And it's a really, really worthwhile cause. Like, we're chatting away here about lots of issues, and the more we talk about them, I think the better.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Your future self will thank you. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS for 15% off.